Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3, the podcast where I try to right the wrongs of Sex and the City 3 being ripped away from us in 2017, an injustice that I will quite frankly never get over. And so in lieu of having that Sex and the City movie, I invite a guest to reimagine what that movie could be with me on my couch in my apartment every episode.
Do you have to explain it to them every time?
I like to do that. I like to do that because for anyone that's like just tuning in, yeah, that's like, what is this? Like, I love Sex and the City. Oh, like, yeah. But I don't know. Like, right. I kind of have a little explanation in the intro, but then I like to really spell it out.
Yeah.
So that no one can be confused and everyone's on the same page.
This is what's going on.
This is what's going on. We're living in a fantasy world where there are no rules, no regulations. Right. And the guest you're hearing speak right now is friend Lawler, friend of many pods.
I'm friend of so many pods.
Friend IRL, friend of pods, Chrissy Milazzo.
Friend IRL. This is the opposite of on Vanderpump Rules. I had to bring it up in the first 30 seconds of when they get Kristen got demoted to friend.
Friend
like
of the
all
cast.
The news items were like, Kristen is being demoted to friend of the cast. I've just been like promoted. Mm-hmm. Like, not only am I friend of the pod, I'm also
friend IRL. You're
friend
featured
of
player.
A human.
Yeah, you're yeah, featured player.
Right,
across.
I'm Christina Esser. Yeah. Like, Christina. Sorry if you don't watch Vanderpump Rules. This is gonna suck. Like, get off the ride.
I feel like, I don't feel like there are many new like organic newcomers to this podcast that haven't fucked with
what?
Babe or Sup. I'm just gonna go out on a ledge.
You did not tell me that before I agreed to do this.
I don't know though.
That's
I am
crazy.
Sex and the City, Saving Sex and the City 3 is on Spotify now,
right?
So anything could happen.
I added every episode to my July playlist.
Yeah, if you're on Spotify and listening, or if you are listening to this on iTunes, quit out of the fucking iTunes. Go to Spotify. Do whatever you do on Spotify with podcasts.
Right.
I don't know because I don't listen to them on Spotify.
Follow
but
them?
That's like a whole thing.
Probably.
Add it to your playlist. Like, I don't know.
Add
you tell
me. Add
it
to your sex playlist.
Yeah. And yeah.
See what happens. Watch what happens live.
Watch what happens live on Saving Sex and the City 3.
Right.
I randomly sometimes worry that like the cast of Sex and the City will get wind of this podcast and be really offended by
you're
it.
Delusional.
Okay, cool.
You're like,
but all
like I sometimes worry that.
Well, I just am like, okay, look, if I was
you're used
ever
to the Vanderpump Rules cast, who has no money and when like all the time in the world,
because I'm traumatized by past relations that got frayed with the Vanderpump Rules cast. I know what it's like to fly too close to the sun. So I'm like, God forbid, like SJP catch wind of this.
Yeah.
That is truly, I'm doing this out of like a place of love and a need to like troll and like just create based on my obsession with Sex and the City. But like, I pray that she doesn't take it the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, that I day like is could. So close. So it's like hard to like.
I'm like, would Kim Cattrall loll at this?
I'm trying to think who would. I mean, well, Scooby-Doo. That's, can we just talk about, but have, like, you talked about it a lot?
Like, no. A Babadoo-ay.
A Babadoo-ay.
Well, he winked at all the he-dogs, barked at all the she-dogs.
What?
One of my friends, Ed, who is just on Babe, literally just discovered that video.
Oh, I just saw it like a couple months ago for the first time, and I was like, what? Like, it's one of those things where it's just like, I have no real friends.
You but just in a real don't way. Have the right friends, because that's been on my radar for years.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's so many bugs. Some,
suddenly, like, this apartment turned into like a fruit fly bonanza, but it's okay.
It's fine. I think they're getting in your lamp, though.
Yeah, they are.
Is like maybe what's a concern, but I'm fine with it.
Like, it's fine. I can just, like,
your life.
Yeah. You know? It's my lamp. It's my life. I worry.
Sex in the City 3. My lamp. My life.
Because I'm like, okay, if Kim Cattrall is the one that comes out and finds this podcast and is like, yes, and she champions it, it's going to really create a rift with me and the rest of the gals.
Have you ever, do you know Caroline Goldfarb?
Yeah.
So did you ever hear her story about what she got into with, who's Sarah Jessica Parker married to? I just forget his name.
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick, yeah. That loser.
She has beef with Broad?
No, she has beef with their son.
I know another person that has beef with their son.
Have you heard the story?
No, but go ahead.
I will butcher it, but I've heard Caroline tell it at shows, and it's so fucking funny. But basically, like, she like had posted something on her official Sean Penn account, very popular. Go follow and buy the merch. And she posted this thing where it was just like, isn't it like... I don't even remember if she had specifically posted about Matthew Broderick, or if it was just that the kid had said something really mean on her Instagram. I don't know if she had posted something and then he was mean. I honestly think it was like unprovoked.
James Wilkie.
So James Wilkie commented on her Instagram and said something mean, whether or not it was like, you dumb ugly slut, whether or not it was like, don't be mean to my dad. Like, I don't know.
He'll come for anyone who is trolling. That's what I know to be true of James Wilkie.
Trolling Broderick?
Trolling Broderick or SJP. Because he did that to another friend of mine who like would do some stand-up about like being randomly CC'd on the same... like shot on, like, got somehow CC'd on the assistant to SJP's shopping list.
Oh my God.
So like she would read it, and then I guess James Wilkie found out and he like commented on her Instagram.
Okay,
I'm like,
so,
you're 12.
Right. And so so he basically commented on her Instagram and said something really mean, and I want to say it was unprovoked, but mm-hmm. Maybe she made a joke about Sarah Jessica Parker or whatever. She's always like posting like stuff where it's like a celebrity meme and being like, yes, daddy, like fucking like ruin my life, Paddington, like just trolling, just having a great time. And so James Wilkie comments on it and is like, fuck you, like, you dumb bitch, like, whatever. And so then
he said, fuck you, dumb bitch.
I don't know exactly what he said, but
I need to find out.
I will look it up later. Not now. But then somehow they like ended up on email or in comments. Maybe I think it was DMs. And basically Caroline said, your dad's a gay murderer.
She fucking went hard.
She was like, I could have gone one of two ways. I could have accepted that this was a child trolling and being mean to me, the child of millionaires, like just being mean, and that's fine. And I need to be the bigger person. Or I could tell him that his dad's a gay murderer.
I'm obsessed.
And so she was like, just plain, like, your dad is a gay murderer.
Liv.
Like, actually, like, do I know that she used those two exact words in combination? No. And if it's homophobic, please don't quote me on it. Because
I was going to say, like, this story has devolved into being like, I don't know if, like, she said this, but, like, this is a general gist.
So basically what
but
I'm
I appreciate
saying,
that, like,
I've bullied their son, and I'm delusional, and I'm saying it's someone else. No. This really did happen, and she really did say something like, your dad is a gay murderer, and then his response was to apologize.
Oh.
That is the wildest part. And he then responded to that with no trolling and was like, I'm sorry for being a dick.
Oh, I love that.
Because I honestly, but doesn't that prove to you even more that, like,
he's just a respectful son. Here's the deal, is that, like, when I was James Wilkie's age, I fucking hated my parents. And if there had been Instagram, alive during that time and someone came for my mom and was like, lol, I would have been like, yeah, I would have loved it.
I mean, we've just casted a role in this movie. I hope you understand.
But James Wilkie is just like a saint.
Yeah. And he's, we and are
he's
going here, to
he's like, yeah, I love his dedication and I love him. So Sarah, Jessica, if you're listening, don't.
I've ruined your podcast now because I've soiled it with
your
dad's
you brought James Wilkie into this, which is like kind of a no-no. But I'm going to take his back in this scenario and say I'm team JW.
Team James Wilkie.
Yeah.
Team J-Dub.
Okay, J-Dub. Let's get down to business.
Okay.
The whole reason you're here is to give me a log line for Sex and the City 3 or give me a log line for each of the girls and then we like build a movie.
Okay, so I sort of have, I'm like, I have nothing. No, I
you're like, so I sort of was gonna do it, but then I like, decided
then I didn't.
I'm not going to.
And I would like to talk about other stuff. No. I'm like, I'm weird. Here to with the movie log line, but I also have like maybe a log line for someone else based off of this.
Okay.
So I like maybe have both. But are you ready? Are you like bracing yourself?
I'm ready and I'm braced.
Okay, so it's Sex and the City 3,
mm-hmm.
Bi-coastal, bisexual.
Love.
Goodbye. Thank you.
That's the title. I'm in.
Sex and the City 3.
Bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal. Bisexual, goodbye. But goodbye spelled B-I? Or
I don't know.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
I think it's
whatever
think
feels it's spelled, right.
I think it's a goodbye because it's like we can maybe like amend, but it's like the end of the of everything.
Yeah.
The end of the trilogy, the end of the series, the end of this
so
entire.
You're calling it like this is the end.
Goodbye.
Okay.
But
love.
It's also like goodbye. Like,
yeah, like that makes
saying,
me really want to see it.
Goodbye.
A thousand
what
times
kind of
more.
Film is this?
Yeah.
You know,
Sex and the City 3, bi-coastal, bisexual, goodbye. Love.
Yes.
Okay.
There
go
are three
on.
Commas.
Yeah.
That's pretty much like where I ended, but then I had an idea for Samantha. Everyone else I was sort of like, I don't know if I'm supposed to do both. I think I'm just supposed to do a log line for either,
like a log line for the movie.
Yeah,
so like not a title but like a log line.
That's like as far as I got. Like I was like, that's like a sentence
so far,
like,
you're pretty much failing, but I'll give you a pass because you are an
okay,
IRL
so
friend.
The log line for the movie is that we're in New York and LA.
Mm-hmm.
We're in men and women, and we are ending toxic relationships. And that's like everyone collectively.
Okay.
That's all I have for you. Like literally it. Like I just have like a descriptive sentence.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed, but you have a long line for Samantha, so that's okay. We can go from there.
Like, do I though?
What do you? I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
What is the Samantha log line?
I think I would like to defend myself really quick by saying that all I do at work is come up with brand headlines, which feel like log lines, but are not. They're just words.
That's clear.
So that's like what I've done here is I've just like come up with like advertising tags that are bad.
I can work with that because part of my duties as like a mostly a full-time podcaster, part-time freelancer is that I work in advertising and have to turn like people's just like log lines into kind of
okay, so
executable
I go the opposite.
Ideas. So
yeah,
we're actually in perfect synergy.
Right
now.
We're like in a good situation.
Off the top of my head, I'm thinking that Sex and the City 3, Sex and the City 3, bi-coastal, bisexual, goodbye. I think all the women are having sexual awakenings.
Right. All the women are having sexual awakenings, and also they are all torn between places. And Samantha specifically, here's what I was thinking, is that Jones on Third, she has taken over Jones on Third, and she has turned it into her.
So she's like Meryl Streep in like something or
in
not
everything.
In everything.
I just was like, yes.
Yeah. But like in so Samantha is having like her own Meryl Streep. It's complicated moment. Mm-hmm. And Samantha has I think Samantha's gone through menopause.
Things
with Smith didn't work out. Things with menopause have worked out to the point where she's like, wow, I fucked literally every single person I could ever possibly want to fuck. In New York. I'm going to move back to LA. And also, like, if we're being honest, I've also fucked everyone in LA.
Yeah.
And there's no one left that
she
needs
a new crop.
I need to like fuck up something like with my hands, like a dough. And so then she's like, you know what? I'm just going to like, Samantha's like, I'm going to become like an Ina Garten type of woman. And I'm not going to care about my body anymore. Like my sexuality is something that's so within me. And like, I'm just going to like bake. And have this like beautiful restaurant and hire gorgeous employees to work here.
Just sexy, unique employees.
So she's kind of like a Lisa Vanderpump meets Meryl Streep and it's complicated. Owning her own like bakery hybrid, like salad, bread, pasta, wine, daytime.
Jones
on third. But it's...
But it's different.
It's like Samantha's place. And that's like a cheese counter.
Samantha Jones on third. Samantha Jones on third. And Jones on third is like, excuse me? And she's like, it's Samantha Jones on third.
Samantha Joan of Jones on third is dying in the movie of Sex and the City 3. And so Samantha sees an opportunity because she's like, God, everyone in
Because someone
asked
her for PR for the funeral before the woman's dead. And she's like, oh, wait, I'm getting in like even while the body is still hot.
Okay, okay, I love this. So Samantha's having like, she's really like fully now in menopause mode. She's like having hot flashes left and right.
Totally.
There's like so many supplements, so many pills. And it's just like, she's kind of sick of having sex with everyone.
Fuck it.
And Joan from Jones on Third died, which was like a huge client of hers. And so she's being asked to do PR for the funeral. Right. And in the funeral, she's just like sweating up a storm. She's like having to excuse herself to go like, go put her like transdermal like hormone cream on. And she's like,
Staying at Chateau the whole time.
She's like, enough of this.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
I'm not even enjoying Chateau.
No.
Like she's among these beautiful, hot people. She's looking around. She's like, I don't want to fuck anybody. This is so difficult. It's so much meat. And it's like, and then this piece of bread goes by. She's like at the restaurant at Chateau and she's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, she like tries to fuck a guy.
She looks at a guy's dick print.
Oh my God, no, I got it. she tries to fuck a hot guy at the pool of Chateau where she's staying to like do PR for the funeral of Joan from Jones on Third.
Right.
And she's dry as a bone. Like just cannot so get wet. Dry. So dry. And just like the sex is
painful. The hottest pool boy.
Then it leads to a wild yeast infection. And she's stuck in her room at Chateau trying to like just not itch and like treat the yeast.
Right. Just ice.
And that's when she gets like a full whiff of her own yeast infection. And that's when she realizes bread. I need to buy Jones on Third, keep this tradition.
She's like, what is that scent? She's been depriving herself for so long of carbs.
Is that a carb or is that my vagina? And then she realizes
meanwhile, downtown, you know, I'm pointing down and she's like, meanwhile, she says it to herself.
Yeah. And she's like, my calling is to give up like sex. Who cares?
I'm like, in a new city. Sex is passe.
Yeah.
I invented sex and I can uninvent sex. And she's like, I will now make this restaurant what sex used to be.
Yeah. Cause everyone at the funeral is so
sad. She's like, what do people like? Food, sex.
Yeah. And she sees all this like grief happening around her. And she's like, okay, I need to pick up where Joan, our sweet Joan, left off.
Right.
And buy this property, even the one in like the valley, even the one in like Santa Monica.
So many.
And turn this franchise into Samantha Jones on Third.
Right.
So
the Samantha being in cursive.
Yeah. in a neon sign, yeah. Samantha, and then just Joan, and then she changed Joan, J-O-A-N.
Is it like that?
Yeah.
Sure.
J-O-N-E-S. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So she just
little
like
tweaks, but same font.
Right.
And like this whole movie just starts with like Samantha. It's just Samantha's story.
This is like we're all in the beginning montage, and then like with some moments that are scenes, and then that big like, oh my God, come to Jesus, like bread vagina scene.
Well,
and then finally,
I think it's like not even a montage in the beginning. Oh, it just starts off with it's like Samantha's story, and then like she has this whole thing. She smells her yeast infection. She decides to buy Jones on Third and call it Samantha Jones on Third. And then she picks up the phone.
She
after
needs a lawyer.
She's made the sale.
Yeah.
And then she picks up the phone and gets on a conference call with all the girls. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I have some news.
And some opportunities.
And some opportunities. I live in LA now. And I own a restaurant.
They're like, where have you been?
And then that's when the title sequence is like... And that's like, it's like a pre-beginning to the movie.
Right.
So
the bisexuality has not come out yet, but like,
not
we
come
like
out
get
yet.
There. We'll, like,
we'll get there.
There.
We'll like, get it there. Happens when, like, so Samantha has to.
Well, it can be like the title sequence is like, you know, bam, bam, bam. And then we see like, just like what LA is like. Like, LA is like, for Samantha, like, she's starting to like set up the restaurant. Like, all the girls are in New York. And we just see like little flashes in the opening credits of her like around a bunch of hot gays.
Yeah.
Around a bunch of like hot who's gays. Around a bunch of bread.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is what we're setting it up. Like, we're just like giving you like a little taste of like what this is going to be like. And then we're seeing everyone in New York sort of being like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
With big and like, mm.
Samantha has no idea what she's gotten herself into.
Samantha has no idea what she's gotten herself into. And like the women in New York have no idea what they're getting themselves out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So like Samantha is like, you see her trying to like learn how to make pastries and like do all this shit that like she really didn't realize she was going to have to do.
She like
when
didn't
she took
hire
over.
A chef. And she's like, wait.
She's like, I'm a working woman. I can do this myself.
I'll make the bread with my vagina.
She's like, I've gotten triple penetrated. How hard can it be to make a pan au chocolat? And like,
and then she's like, I am getting fucked by this quiche.
Yeah. And so Samantha is like, she's really starting from ground zero.
Right.
And yeah, we see all the other women in their like sad relationships. Like what? Mm-hmm. Big... What's Big doing?
Okay, so we find Carrie where on the call, like, Samantha was kind of just, like, hinting at, like, come out. Like, I have opportunities for you. Maybe some other kinds of opportunities. And everyone's like, stop. Like, stop, Samantha. And Carrie's like, I am looking for work because writing has, like, fucking dried the fuck up. Because her relationship is, like, her and Big are chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Big's just chilling.
Yeah.
Everything is completely, like, they...
There's no drama anymore.
Yeah, there's zero drama. Like, she's, like, wishing he would cheat. She's just, like, waiting for him to cheat. She's trying to, like, start a fight constantly. And everything's fine, and he's just old.
I think
she's just, like, old.
Everyone's sex drive has dried up.
Yeah,
like,
there's just, like,
Samantha's literally, it's all about pivoting. So Samantha's, like, pivoting to own Jones on Third. Carrie is like pivoted out of just like any sort of sexual tension with Big.
Carrie's other love of anything else but writing, now that writing's failing because sex is failing, and that's the only thing that she can write about. And like, no, everyone's like, Carrie, we don't want to hear you like review a restaurant. Like, what is this? Like, this is terrible.
Because when Carrie goes to review a restaurant, she like eats a salad. You know, she's like
she
really
like
picky.
Has a cigarette. She's like, the menthols were like amazing.
Yeah, she's still smoking and like having a glass of wine, and then like chopping like a spear of romaine, and everyone's like, you bring us nothing, like you won't eat food.
And she's like, I couldn't help but wonder what the steak was like, but I wouldn't know. And everyone's like, that's not chic.
No, they're like,
so she is focusing on fashion basically, and like Samantha's sort of hinting at like someone needs to come and design the new uniforms.
Love.
But Carrie's like, ah, I can't just leave. And then she's like, I think I'll stay in the city. And everyone's like on the call, they're like, yeah, we think we'll stay in the city. And then she's just taking stock of her life.
So you know? Samantha calls all the girls and she's like,
she basically has an opportunity. Like,
she's like, hey,
need a lawyer.
I need you guys. Like,
they need art
I
to
need
go on
you.
The walls.
Yeah, Charlotte. I need art for Charlotte. Like, please help me like revamp Miranda, I desperately need a lawyer. Carrie, I need uniforms. And all the girls are like, I think we're going to stay in the city.
They're all like married. Like they're all married and they're all just like, we have to focus on our relationships. And Samantha's like, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
And just like slams the phone down. And everyone's like, okay. And then on the call, it's the three of them. And they're like, well, so how is everything, you guys? And we learn they have not been hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
No one's seen each other in months. The diner's closed.
The diner where they all would eat is closed.
I think shuttered, like their vaginas.
It's shuttered. Carrie and Big are in like a sexless, like just like complacent marriage. Mm-hmm. They're like going through the motions. And
Big is retired and boring.
Big is retired and boring.
And he's like, so all he does is like lay around the house and like read.
Yeah.
And like go to the park.
He loves to read like the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. And like old like Civil War nonfiction, like
T.S. Eliot.
Yeah. And he like loves watching the History Channel, like
Casablanca,
all the time,
constantly.
It's like nothing but History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda, she's retired,
right? Miranda's finally retired. Steve has like been like trying to get her home. He's like, I need some time with you, Miranda.
Yeah.
He sounds like an old timey villain now for some reason.
Steve is still spry. Yeah. Like he's still got a little like pep in his step, but Miranda,
'cause he had his balls removed.
Yeah. So he's like fine.
Yeah.
And Miranda has like taken up bird watching in Central Park. Like she's like in a bucket hat. Like she's like recording. Like
their child is like God knows where.
Detailed drawing.
Like a teenager now.
Brady is like one of those kids who's gone to college at like age 14. Yeah. Like he's in done. Harvard.
He's over it.
Yeah. Like Brady left home forever ago. He like legally emancipated so he could start working as like a chemist. And he's like very brilliant and like
he's played by James Wilkie.
Yeah, exactly. But like Miranda and Steve are living like separate lives.
They basically are living separate lives like in and of emotionally, but also they have separate residences and Steve doesn't know.
Yeah.
Miranda has taken some of her retirement money and been squirreling it away for her own apartment because she hates living in, where do they end up living? Like some Russian part of Brooklyn.
They lived in Brooklyn.
She's like, fuck this. She gets an apartment on the Upper East Side.
I'm moving back to the city. And like Miranda is actually like now kind of a lady of leisure, but like she's not bougie. So all she does is like, she lives in her fantastic apartment, but she walks down to Central Park every day to like bird watch and like record in her bird watching journal. She's like,
I'm going to be closer to the birding. And at first it was like this secret. And then eventually it was just like, Steve, like, so, come on.
Yeah. And I think Steve discovers, like, there's a moment where Steve happens upon Miranda's, like, bird blog. Where he's like...
Her bird Instagram. Yeah.
Her Birdstagram. Yeah.
And she's, like, very active in the Birdstagram community. She's like the kingpin.
Yeah. Miranda has 441,000 followers.
Miranda's huge. Like, every day going live.
Every day going live, but also just, like...
Celebrities are following her.
There's so much...
John Mayer's a fan. Huge.
Her bird Instagram of just, like, bird watching and, like, general aviary... bullshit has like people are really taken by it,
obsessed,
and like she's actually like in her retirement years has started like she's expanding into merch.
Yeah, she was profiled in New York Magazine.
Yeah, like, Steve knows none of this the moment like someone shares the magazine profile
like,
with
have
him.
Have you seen this? And like she's basically like she's kind of like just like the woman behind the Birdstagram, and she doesn't really like put her face on it. And finally, in New York Magazine, she's like, "I deserve this."
Yeah, it's not about Miranda. It was about the birds.
But then they're like, but how did you come to be this bird whisperer? And she was like, well,
it's like a lot of like detailed, beautiful drawings of birds and then like pictures. And it's just like very like
videos of birds in the park. Like it's like different. It's information about the birds interacting in Central Park. It's like very like narrative.
And it goes beyond just like a lifestyle brand into like true like nature warrior. Yeah. Like it's like it creates like a new genre of like Instagram.
Like the wellness influencer is like over. It's now about like true adventurers.
Adventurers and like nature appreciators. Yeah, and exactly. Miranda's on like the cutting edge of that.
Yeah. She's like, I used to drink out of plastic cups every day, just so much plastic. And then she's like, but we're done with straws because mm-hmm. they hurt the birds. And yeah. everyone's like, yes. So Miranda's basically championing the movement of no straws in 2017, totally. 18.
She's an eco warrior.
Yeah. She is an eco warrior.
And Steve has no idea. He's like, Miranda, she comes and she goes.
Like, he's like, there are birds here. Why'd she have to go look at the birds in the park?
And he just like, he's always kind of let her go on her like birding journeys. Clear,
Steve's mom is like dead.
No, she's fully dead.
Like so dead.
She's been Miranda's dead for like, years.
So over it.
Yeah. Steve's mom died. And then Miranda was like,
Miranda saw a bird at the funeral and was like,
she's like, life is short.
What
like,
have I been doing?
I've got to just like work towards retirement and then get the fuck out of my legal job because I hate being a lawyer. And then she's just
like, work towards retirement. I'm good.
Yeah.
She's like, we've been living in a piss ass apartment. And
she's like, the apartment's been paid off for years.
Yeah. Like, what am I doing? She's like, I could die at any moment of a brain aneurysm. And Steve's like, my mom was old. Ma, she had a life. And then she's like, I'm going to have a life.
Yeah. So Miranda's like, Miranda and Steve are living completely separate lives.
Steve discovers like the magazine thing. He discovers the other apartment like slowly, surely. And then he's just like in this heart-wrenching scene. We see Steve like tear up, do like a silent cry, and then just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just never said, he's like, if she's not going to tell me, like,
I'm not going to ask.
I'm not going to ask. Yeah.
But Charlotte and Harry are still like, I think they might still be living together, like in the same apartment.
They're living together. They have a family.
Yeah, they have a family.
So many children.
And I think that like Miranda probably every once in a while sees Charlotte in Central Park because they both live on the Upper East Side. Sure. And like Charlotte will wander into her like,
Charlotte will jog over.
But I think Charlotte and Harry have kind of stopped having sex because Charlotte, we find out, has been yearning for the days when she like kind of tried to be a lesbian but couldn't really go there.
Yeah.
And she's been in like, she's just been like on Bumble, but like only female to female Bumble, just like swiping.
She's using the Her app.
Yeah.
An app for dating female identifying people. And so no one's on it and no one knows about it because it's like gay friendly. And so she sees a Subway ad for this and she's like, no one will know me on this alternative. She's like, and then she goes home and she's like, oh, this is what I've been yearning for. But she's too scared to talk to anyone. And she uses fake photos.
She uses fake photos. And then like, she'll never meet up with anyone. But she's like actively swiping.
I just can't do it myself. I've been using fake photos. And she like tells this to Miranda like all conspiratorially because Miranda reveals like the bird watching stuff to her when they run into each other in the park. And Miranda's like, oh my God, you're gay. And Charlotte's like, no, I'm not. I'm just figuring it out. And then Miranda's like, and you're catfishing. And she's like, what's that? And then Miranda, from her legal expertise, starts telling her like what catfishing is and that like she's about to be a part of it. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that to anyone. I'm not talking to anyone. And she's like, yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then Charlotte's kind of like, I could use a secret identity for this.
Yeah.
And have like an emotional affair.
She for sure could have an emotional affair.
And so she starts embarking on that journey. Emotional affairs with women via dating apps.
Mm-hmm. So while we've established all of this, Samantha is still like toiling away over her Samantha Jones on Third.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha, I think, has been like transitioning out of being this like sex pot like person into really stepping into her role as like a new like pastry chef on the scene.
Yeah.
Like at first it was like, this woman's never gonna get it. Like she's so not meant for this world.
Yeah.
But suddenly she's getting like written, like she has a PR savvy and she also is like a woman who can do anything she puts her mind to. So Samantha starts becoming like this like self-taught, incredible pastry chef slash just regular chef at the age of like 65 or however the fuck old she is. And she's making waves in the Los Angeles foodie community.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets all these like puff piece it, like all these like great profiles. And then the New York Times, like her restaurant opens, like maybe a year goes by and Samantha Jones on Third reopens and the New York Times does a huge profile on her. Mm-hmm. And when that Times piece comes out.
The girls, they obviously call each other for momentous. They're like, oh, hey, like this happened. And then the phone tree happens of them being like, did you see the New York Times? Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't even tell us. And they're like, well, we haven't really been talking. And
like, it's like Carrie, I imagine like Carrie like is waking up one day or going about her like morning mm-hmm. routine. Her,
like sad morning routine.
Yeah. And then like,
she's,
like
Big so annoyed.
Is shuffling around like, and then you see him kind of like open up a paper, and then Carrie just sees Samantha's face and like grabs it out of yeah. his hand.
She's like, what?
Give me that. And like goes, stalks to the bathroom, and then like yeah. calls Charlotte and Miranda.
Right. And so we're seeing like this split screen of the three of them just reacting to this, just like processing this news. Like while they've been toiling away, mm-hmm. just like frittering their lives away slowly with these men, Samantha's been out there in LA starting a huge successful restaurant and like yeah. living an entire other life,
having a like, third act.
Oh my God, like what are we doing? Like what are we doing in New York?
They're like, we were wrong to hate on her in that initial phone call.
Well, they're like, I mean, obviously like Charlotte's like, we were wrong. And Miranda's like, no, I'm birding. I was in New York Magazine. Everyone's like, birding. Like they're still like, like Carrie's like, well, I was reviewed in the New York Times. So like, I don't know, like actually why this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's like, you guys, it is a big deal. She's like, everyone here has been so successful besides me. Yeah. The only time I was in the paper was when I was getting married to Trey. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, oh no.
And like, Harry. Trey. But like, she's like,
and you yeah. all know, like I had that mark on my face.
Yeah. And they're like, God, we have to hear about this
the
shit
mark
again.
On the face again. And so they're basically all like, wow, what the fuck are we doing? But internally and to each other, they're just like tearing everything apart. And Charlotte's like trying to remind them, as always, like there's this one optimistic thread, and mm-hmm. it's that like, look at all we've done. But they're like, we're done. Like we've done everything we can do. Like what else can we possibly do?
Yeah. They realize that they actually were like shitty friends to Samantha.
Yeah.
They're
Charlotte
like, wow.
Breaks them down.
Yeah. Charlotte's like, we suck, and like we were rude to our friend, and now look, she's overcome everything. She literally is a pastry chef and like a legitimate chef. She's yeah. on the front page of the New York Times. Like, we need to go to LA and like support her.
Yeah.
So all the women decide, Charlotte, Carrie, Miranda, are like, we're fine, we're gonna go to LA.
But here's the thing, they're like, we're gonna go to LA. And Carrie dials up Samantha, and Samantha looks at her phone, and she's like, no.
Mm-mm.
And she ignores all of their calls.
Yeah.
And they're like, all we wanted to do was make a trip to LA to congratulate her. Like, what the fuck? Why is she being like this? And then they're like, irate. And then Charlotte's like, gets her Charlotte anger, and she's like, we're just going to go.
Yeah.
We're just going to show up.
Yeah. You have to just
like,
show
she
up.
She just doesn't want to let us in. We're just going to show up. And Miranda's like, this is a bad idea. There are no birds in LA. Like, she's freaking out. And they're like, get on the plane, mm-hmm. Miranda. And so obviously they take like a crazy first class flight. They're
yeah. Like Carrie and, well, everyone can afford it. So
they
they're
like,
just
charter
like,
charter a jet.
Yeah.
They're like using, first of all, they're using all their husband's money besides Miranda. But Miranda has that bird money now.
Yeah. And so they're like, let's go. If we're going to go to LA, we're going to go in style.
Yeah.
And so we get this like beautiful kind of like Michael Kors-ish mm-hmm. like editorial moment of them all walking across yeah. like the PJ.
Miranda's like wearing like a feather headpiece.
Yeah, runway.
Like, faux,
they're all
still
like
addressing
crazy clothes.
Right.
Getting on a huge plane for just the three of them.
And they're supposed to be going for like 7 days, but Carrie obviously has like 40 bags mm-hmm. and Miranda has like a giant bird cage, like full of finches, just like full of like hummingbirds. Like it's basically a museum.
Yeah. Miranda,
I mean,
Miranda's the kind of person who like she travels with a variety of birds.
Yeah.
And then wherever they get a hotel, like they end up staying at like the Peninsula.
Yeah.
And in Beverly Hills. And Miranda gets a room for her and a room for her birds.
Her birds, yeah.
Yeah. And it's covered in total plastic every like yeah. part of the room, but then there's just like a bird cage in the middle.
Yeah, there's a bird cage in the middle, and also she's filled it with like succulents, with like rare leaves and like hanging plants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a little mini rainforest, and she has like a little like dehumidifier or a humidifier, actually. She's actually
both.
Humidifying. She has yeah. both, obviously, yeah.
And she's just like very eccentric,
mm-hmm.
but that's like she's kind of become like lauded as like the bird lady of the Upper East Side.
She's taken a turn. Like every way that she used to feel about like being a professional has become the way she feels about the birding.
Yeah. She's like very bohemian. Type A
bohemian bird.
Type A bohemian, complete eccentric.
Yeah. Like very serious about the eccentricity of it.
Yeah. And so all the girls like arrive in LA.
They set up, Miranda sets up her bird room.
She's Miranda like, sets BRB. Up the bird room.
Like, I have to go. And they're like, mm-hmm. she's going to be gone for hours. And at this point, they're just like, it's like when you see your friends from college and you're like, are we even friends anymore? Like, what's going on? And Charlotte and Carrie have a heart to heart.
Yeah. None of them have, it's been a long time since any of them have hung out.
Like, they haven't really hung out in years.
Yeah.
Literal years. Like, there's been like one dinner.
Carrie and Charlotte have a heart to heart and Carrie's like, God, Miranda's crazy now. Like, yeah. Is it just me? Or is she like
crazy bird lady? And she's like chain smoking.
Yeah. Carrie's back in like full chain smoking. They're
like, you cannot smoke here. She's like,
she's like, please, here's 50. Here's like a 50. Every time she just pays people off.
She has a clutch filled with $50 bills and cigarettes, like an Olsen twin. Mm-hmm. Like she just carries this like hard clutch.
Yeah. Carrie's gotten to such a point in like her career and life where she can actually smoke wherever she wants. Like,
well, because her books have been turned into movies now, and it's like this like meta situation where it's like they're just living their own like separate life separate from her, and she's just getting the royalties, and that's why she feels so uninspired, because she's like not involved in any of that. Mm-hmm. There's like a hit TV series, there's hit books, there's hit movies, and she's like completely uninvolved and just sitting there cashing her royalty checks, and like no one wants a book.
So Carrie is basically like Candace Bushnell.
She is Candace Bushnell. She's like full-blown depressed. Like she's an alcoholic. She's like everything has gone wrong. Yes. She's like come full circle to like what was actually Sex and the City.
Yeah, the original Sex and the City book, which if you read the original Sex and the City book, you would realize it's devastatingly depressing. Yeah. It's so sad.
It's like I was in a gutter doing meth.
Yeah. She's just like, I cried and then like ripped off my bra and then like fell in the rain.
Yeah.
And then cried and then drank a martini and then shot up heroin. It's like that's how the Sex and the City book is. And then it's like, and
also no one loved me during that time.
Yeah.
All the sex was
and then it's like Samantha pondered whether or not she should kill herself.
Yeah.
Like I read Sex and the City, the book, and I was like on a plane back from like visiting some guy in Ireland. And I was like, finally something uplifting. And then I read it and I was like, I want to die. And so that's like where Carrie Bradshaw is. She's like drinking 4 to 8 martinis a day baseline.
Her work has already outlived her and she's still alive.
Yeah.
And she's finally started in that way, like thinking like a real writer in a weird like turn of events in her eyes. She's like, I'm finally like at the depths of what like humanity can be at its lowest. But she just like can't do anything. No one wants her shit anymore.
She's like Carrie Bukowski.
Yeah, she's Carrie Bukowski.
She writes every day, but she types on a typewriter.
she carried her typewriter. Like that was the only bag in her hand when she got on the plane. It was like a typewriter and like a glass case. So she's like holding it by like an encrusted crystal handle, and then obviously like the typewriter itself is like all crystal.
And the twist of Carrie Bradshaw's like saga in this movie is that because she's such a smoker and a drinker.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
She looks 45 years older than everyone else.
Yeah.
But she's the chicest she's ever been.
Yeah.
Like, she's like Michelle Lamy. Like, yeah. And where
full
it's
on.
Just like full, just like wrinkles and like just random like puts like a swatch of like lipstick on her
she'll
forehead.
Like take her jacket off in a restaurant and be like, here, darling. Yeah. Like just like throw it to like a random girl who looks chilly and she's like, get out of here.
Yeah. And she's taking more fashion risks than ever before. But she's like also just kind of like a shriveled raisin.
Because all she can
chicness.
Do is type on this typewriter and like buy clothes.
Yeah.
She's all this money to burn. She's like, literally, like, Big has all the money in the world. Like, what do we do? Like, yeah. We have multiple residences. Like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even, her ennui is such that she doesn't even want to go anywhere. She doesn't even want to, like, leave the house. So she's just expensive clothes, styling herself, going to restaurants, coming back and typing on a typewriter.
She's like, this is my life now. And like, she types on this crystal typewriter that, because it's crystal, it doesn't record any sort of ink on paper. So it's like, it's mostly just like an artistic act where she just types on a crystal typewriter into nothingness.
Well, because she's like,
she's become like, she's become like, she's ascended above and beyond. Yeah. She's now like a philosophical.
She's almost like Marina Abramovich. In a way. Like, she's just like, this is her body is her art is her body is her art.
Yeah. And like, she's ascended beyond just like Carrie Bradshaw, Sex in the City, into like this kind of like performance artist, like, enigmatic, just idea and vibe of a creator and like, a woman.
No one knows or cares.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like.
But if they cared to pry deeper, they would realize, like, wow, this is the fucking baddest bitch on the face of the planet. Like, looking where she came from, which was just like self-obsessed, like, sex writer who's kind of a prude, who like doesn't get it, to then now this like fucking aged woman who, like, just
asexual,
like,
but totally asexual,
but like so sexual,
so sexual, just like bursting,
works for hours every day on a crystal typewriter that types nothing, smokes 4,000 cigarettes,
has
a
90
day
jackets in her coat closet alone, like just in the front room.
And is just like the epitome of like the she walks into a place and you're just like, oh my God, I wish I was her.
You're like, is that cloves? What is that?
Yeah.
Is that, and you think it smells like a funeral almost?
Mm-hmm.
And then Carrie's just like, oh my God, like the scent of cigarettes.
She's
just
like there.
Rolling in. Just like,
she smells like
a ghost.
Like Tom Ford gave an interview once where he's like, my idol is Carrie Bradshaw because she smells like death.
Yeah.
And no one, like, knew that what that meant.
Like, Lana Del Rey was like, my idol is Carrie Bradshaw because she knows what it is to die. And everyone's like, what?
Carrie's in like very chic,
she's
very
like
exclusive.
Cult status.
Yeah. Circles.
Yeah.
But also like,
but she's so bored. That's the thing, is that she's finally at this place where the higher class of creatives appreciate her, but she gets no work and she doesn't want to do her old work. Like, she just want to do a column.
She's like, sex, I've had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
it's
city,
like,
I've
death,
been there.
I've known it.
Death, I've known it.
What of it?
What of it? Carrie Bradshaw's turned into like a dinner party guest.
Yeah.
And an enigma of her own.
And her
making.
Publishers could not care less because they're like, this doesn't sell books. You're typing air.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've given up. Mm-hmm. Like, I've given up on that work.
And what else,
like,
is there?
What work are you going to do? And she's like, I'm doing the work.
She's like, I just mailed you my latest work. And they're like, we'd never got anything. And
they're,
she's
like,
exactly.
You sent us a plastic bag. And she's like, right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are you going to do with that? And they're like, it's just like silent and everyone sits in a stalemate.
And then
it,
like,
goes
that's
to the next.
That's the work.
Yeah.
She's like, that's the work.
That's the work.
And it's just, they show a conference room like full of suits.
And she hangs up. So Carrie's like really subverting the system.
Yeah.
Like, Carrie Bradshaw has actually become.
None of her friends get it.
None of her friends get it. But she's actually become like the coolest fucking artist.
Like
ever.
The coolest person alive.
Yeah.
Possibly.
She's like been there, done that.
And just so bored.
Yeah. And just like complete. And that's why she dresses like crazier and crazier and crazier, because she's like trying to get a rise out of anyone.
The only rise that could be gotten out of Carrie was the attention that Samantha got, because she was like, I've been an artist enigma for years now. I've made a 180, and what now? She's reinventing herself.
Yeah.
And everyone cares. She's like, where's my New York Times profile? And that little piece of like the old Carrie has come back, that like jealous, nagging person.
Yeah.
And now she's in LA and she's like, what have I done? Just sitting there with Charlotte, like, none of us are friends. Why are we here?
Yeah. And being like, sure, her whole attitude is kind of negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's weird because before it was like complete indifference and it was like this cool indifference. And now we're seeing like, she's like serving these like sparkly looks and we're like, what's going on? There's like little glimmers of this nagging person coming from beneath the surface.
Oh, so you think that she goes from like,
I think she's having like a crisis of self, and they're both like tugging at each other. Like, you have this like basic bitch that wants to like put on a sequin dress and just like a dog collar and like go out and just be that fully. And then you have this other half of her that's like this cool enigma that's like taken over the art world.
Yes.
As a subculture in herself, like just like typing air, performing.
Oh my God. So Carrie, the second she lands in LA and like is unpacking her suitcase, mm-hmm. is like
twitching
and like going, like springing for her like J'adore Dior mm-hmm. shirt.
Yeah. She's like label whoring and then being like,
she's like, I'll be right back, girls. Like, I'm going to go get a coffee. Mm-hmm. And then she goes down, right down to like Rodeo Drive mm-hmm. and like goes on like a shopping spree.
So after her conversation with Charlotte, basically she's like, this isn't who I am anymore. Like, this isn't like, I'm not about this. Like, I don't even know why we're here. Like, I don't know what Samantha's doing. Like, I'm above material at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It means nothing to me. And Charlotte's like, but Carrie, like, you spend millions of dollars a week on black shrouds. And she's like, exactly. Like, money's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately we see her like go in her room and start doing what you said, just like pulling things out, like being like Dior, 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 runs down to Rodeo Drive. Complete lie.
Yeah. And like is on the shopping spree.
She's like, I'm gonna go to the Museum of Death. I'll be back.
Yeah. And but really she's like buying all these like old yeah. Carrie Bradshaw.
And also like, this looks. Whole time, like, I can't believe we didn't mention this, but like this whole time her hair has been jet black.
Oh,
like we're
absolutely.
Not talking like brown. Like, she dyed it jet black years ago and like it fades in and out, and sometimes you think it's gray, and she just looks like this magnificent witch.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see her go down to Rodeo Drive, she walks into a salon and she walks out.
She walks
and
out
and blonde carries again, back. And she looks terrible.
Her black hair is like Angelina Jolie when she won the Oscar and kissed mm-hmm. her brother. It's like that yeah. long yeah. and just straight and black, witch like.
Yeah, yeah, matted.
And so Carrie steals away from the hotel, from mm-hmm. the peninsula, takes to Rodeo, goes on a shopping spree and makeover,
mm-hmm.
and like becomes old Carrie.
Old Carrie, but now with like complete leather skin.
Yeah.
So it's like terrifying.
So she's kind of like performance art in the sense that yeah. it's like if you saw a picture of a totally like yeah. leathered out woman and like a
Anna
20-year-old.
Russo.
Like Anna Della Russo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie Della Russo.
Yeah.
Carrie Della Bradshaw.
So she doesn't know like who she is. And there's a part of her that's convincing herself as she's going through this, that this is all performance art. Like, she's going to be like that guy who dated Francesca Eastwood and like cut up a Birkin mm-hmm. and like light it on fire.
Totally.
She's like convincing herself. She's like, I'm doing this all for, I'm going to build myself up and I'm going to destroy myself. But we see her looking at herself and she's like,
she calls her agent when she's yeah. leaving the hotel. And she's like, Tony, I have an idea.
Yeah.
She's like, I have an idea. Just mm-hmm. go with me here. Like, I feel compelled to work again.
She's like, I'm going undercover
yeah.
as my old self.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, are you going to write it on actual paper? And she's like, I'm going to type it on a laptop. And mm-hmm. they're like, done.
Love.
$3 million. And she's like, thank you.
Yeah. So Carrie's like secured a book deal in a matter yeah. of hours.
Yeah.
And she's
through
like
self-immolation.
Yeah. And Charlotte and Miranda are still at the hotel being like,
Miranda's in her room of birds. Charlotte's like watching her like set up this room of birds. And she's like, she's like, maybe we could
go to see Samantha. Or
by the way, Charlotte's like endlessly swiping through West Hollywood's entire scene.
Yeah.
As we're doing this, like her app is like popping off and she's been on there as like a hot blonde for months with just like pictures she found online Googling hot blonde.
Yeah. So she's fully like catfishing everyone in yeah. her life.
But she hasn't had to meet anyone. So she's like, whatever, who cares? She just like talks to them, lets it go really far, and then ghosts them.
And then so Charlotte's like,
she's like, I'm not doing anything wrong.
No, but she's also like ghost Miranda and she's like, I think that we should go visit Samantha. Like mm-hmm. at the restaurant,
you know, in West Hollywood.
And Charlotte has done this thing where she's like basically set up, like told all these different matches that mm-hmm. she would be there.
Yeah.
And she wants to go as herself to just like check out the scene.
Yeah.
And like peruse them undercover.
Right.
So she gets Miranda to finally, like, agree to be away from her birds. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we're going to go surprise Samantha.
Right.
And they text Carrie and they're like, we're going to Samantha's restaurant. Meet us there. Mm-hmm. They all get there and the restaurant, it's like a Saturday and the restaurant is packed. There's like a line down the street.
Right.
And it's chaos.
It's like infiltrating the nightclub lines. Mm-hmm. Like they're always calling the police and like zoning agents and stuff because they're like, this is ridiculous.
Like during the day.
Yeah. Like it's crazy day and night.
Mm-hmm. And Samantha, like we finally see her, like a real look at her, mm-hmm. not just like the beautiful picture from the New York Times.
Yeah.
And Samantha is like, looks like Ina Garten.
Yeah.
Like she's like,
she's like sweating. Black
she's like
bob.
40 pounds heavier, has like a short, like short brunette, like haircut mm-hmm. and is just like on top of her game. Yeah. She's like, get the pasta sauce on, cut the arugula salad. How's the chop salad
and just
doing?
She's like a matriarch yeah. as well.
She's
and it's like
nurturing.
The most maternal we've seen her be, like stern, maternal, and yet still Samantha.
Yeah.
It's just like, very confusing for Charlotte and Miranda to even encounter through a window.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of looking on because they can't even like begin to get in this line. They're like, how are we possibly going to get in?
They come up on this line and they're like, what is this? And then they're like, is mm-hmm. Samantha even here? And Charlotte mm-hmm. like peeks in the window and mm-hmm. is like looking and like looks right at Samantha, mm-hmm. but doesn't see her because she looks nothing
she's
like
the she's Samantha. Not even here.
No, she's not even here.
And of course, Samantha sees Charlotte and she's like, and is horrified. Like mm-hmm. they make full eye contact and she's like, oh my God, like what the fuck? Like, how could they possibly even be in my city? And so she starts like having a Samantha-esque meltdown, but internally.
Mm-hmm.
And she just starts screaming at her employees.
Yeah.
And pandemonium is taking place in the kitchen. It's like Ratatouille. Like, it is a Disney film and there are, all the workers are like mice just running around, like trying to please this person.
She's like, get the romaine out. We didn't. They're like, that's not on the menu.
The parsley.
And then she's like, get the salad because she wants to make sure that they can make a salad that she knows that Charlotte's going to love because she just like wants to surprise her.
Yeah.
The good news is that she has like at least 30 minutes to prepare the salad to maybe an hour because the line is so long.
Well, the line is really long, but Miranda's like, we're not going to wait in this line. And Charlotte's like, how are we going to get in? And Miranda starts looking around and she sees a bird fly and the bird lands on this tree that's like right next to the back of the restaurant and mm-hmm. she's like, I know how we're gonna get in. So they climb the tree.
They climb the tree and then like drop down.
They climb the tree and drop down through. They like get onto
through
the
patio
and
like
they're like
a back
looking
patio.
And she's like, what are you looking for? And Miranda's like, there's always a patio. Like every good restaurant has a patio. And they crawl down onto this fence and flop into the courtyard just like while people are dining, just like Charlotte's skirt is like up, Miranda's like in her like birding gear, like her goggles are on,
and it's a real like audience lol moment.
Yeah, like everyone's like, this is so wacky. And like one of the waiters is like, someone has to come get these psychotic women from the back. And then Samantha's like, those are my psychotic women. And then we have like a nice like togetherness moment for the first time, and it's almost like everything's been forgotten.
Yeah. And they're like, Samantha, is that you?
And she's like, it is me.
Yeah.
Now. And they're all like, oh. They like accept, you know, mm-hmm. in that moment, they all accept each other's like new journeys.
Yeah. So Samantha shows them all around the restaurant. Mm-hmm. They're like, tell us everything. Like, we missed you so much. And she shows them all around.
Yeah.
And starts introducing them to some of her employees.
Right.
And that's when we find out that she's like employing some really, really sexy,
unique
individuals. And all her employees are so hot. They're like
so hot.
In their 20s, like model actors. Here. Yeah. They're just like waxed within an inch of their lives. Mm-hmm. And they're also just like smiley and accommodating.
And of course, their uniforms are just like sex. Mm-hmm. Like their uniforms are just like barely there. All the guys are like wearing tank tops. She has like this weird Italian theme to it where it's like all the guys are like Guido tank tops, like wife beaters, and like all the women are like sweating and like wearing these like busty red dresses.
Yeah.
And it's just like all this like weird West Side Story fantasy almost.
Total West Side Story at Samantha Jones on 3rd.
Yeah. And all they all want to be like models, actors, musicians. And so obviously, like, they're performative. They're wearing red lipstick. They're just, like, living it up into these roles.
Yeah. And so they start flirting with
the guys
Miranda.
Are horrible to the women.
The guys are horrible to the women.
They're just, like, patriarchy.
But they're also, like, sexual with each other.
Yeah. Everyone's grabbing each other. All the guys are grabbing each other. Like, and Charlotte's just watching this in full, like, gay panic and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's so uncomfortable because, like, all she wants to do, obviously, is fuck every single woman and person in the restaurant. All of a sudden, it's sex reignited in her mind, but in a real way, no longer digital.
Yeah, and we realize that, like, Samantha, while she may not be very sexual anymore, she's funneled all of her sexuality into just creating the vibe of this, like, yes, incredible cafe.
Psychosexual cafe.
Yeah, that's just, like, throbbing with sexual energy. Yeah. And no wonder everyone loves it, because it's, like... Right. Just like the fucking place to
even eat. Like the shapes of the food are erotic, like mm-hmm. all of the dishes are erotic, like everything you eat, you like put a fork in it and like something oozes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go there with both your lover and your mistress, and so like Lisa Vanderpump is shaking.
Yeah. And you just like you get fulfilled on a variety of levels, like yeah. not only are you going to interact with like people who really are sexy, you're also gonna have like a sexy, a delicious meal.
Yeah.
I think some of the waitresses like flirt with Charlotte.
Well, Charlotte's been, what we now learn is Charlotte's looking around and she's like, is that Stephanie? And Samantha's like, how do you know Stephanie?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Pray tell.
So it's like, and she gets all red. And then Samantha's like, you've been dipping back into the lady pool.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, and by everyone, I mean Miranda.
And they're like, we knew this day was going to come.
Yeah. Like Samantha all of a sudden is like titillated. And she's like, what is going on? Like, what am I feeling in this moment? Like, we sort of see her face change and she's feeling like a vague horniness and it's like delightful for her. And then Charlotte reveals to them that she's been speaking on the Her app and on Bumble and on Tinder and everything she could possibly do with all these different women, and like half of them work in the restaurant.
So Charlotte's just like in kind of like a Sophie's Choice situation.
Yeah. Like, she's seeing these women up close and she's like, I'm in the right place for this.
Yeah.
Like, I actually want to do this. Like, I have a hotel room. Like, I'm in West Hollywood. Like,
and Samantha's like, take your pick.
Like, yeah, she's like, you have your pick of the litter.
What's Miranda doing?
She's just like watching everyone go around and she's like, I just want to get back to the hotel with my birds. Mm-hmm. So Miranda's kind of like mercilessly trying to bail. She's like trying to Irish exit, and it's like a little bit of a physical comedy, like watching her try to get out of the restaurant and then be like pushed back in
because
by the line,
everyone,
by the waiters.
Everyone in LA is like even more obsessed with her bird Instagram than are in New York.
In New York, people weren't really recognizing her on the street. But yeah. In LA, everyone's like, Spencer Pratt is in the restaurant. And he's like, I love when you go over the Hummers. And it's just like the back and forth with every single influencer is like exhausting.
So Miranda's getting like accosted by like various Instagram celebrities.
She realizes she doesn't want to be famous.
Yeah. And she's like getting invited to all these like influencer events. Mm-hmm. And then one of the waiters like grabs her and like steals her away.
So there's this male waiter and mm-hmm. it's like, is he gay? Is he not? Like, we don't know. Like,
we'll never
know.
He's
just like a maverick. And Samantha's like, there's one person I can't pin down. And then she's like, it's Steven. And they're all like, who's Steven? And she's like, Steve. And she turns and it's this guy who's like, looks like a young, hot, like twink, but not twink version of Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda's like, and all of a sudden, like a sexual awakening sort of happens in her brain, because this is sort of like a half man, half woman hybrid. Like, we don't know like what's going on here. We don't know what the masculine and feminine energy are. And he just walks right up to her, looks her in the eyes, and he's like, I love your bird Instagram. And he has this like thick, like Long Island accent. And she's like, where have you come from? Like, where are we going? And he's like, follow me.
We're going back to your hotel to check out your birds.
He sounds like JFK,
mm-hmm.
actually. He's from Boston.
So
he's a weird,
off.
Like, blend of feminine and masculine energy and sexuality. And also, for some reason, looks like a young, hot ginger.
But, like, ultimately, just sexy.
Just like sexy and unique.
Mm-hmm.
And just like checking all of her boxes. And all of everyone's boxes, really. And like, yeah. Samantha just like doesn't know what he's into because he seems like into everything. And then it turns out
he's
into Miranda.
And he's mostly into Miranda. So
and
they
has a bird fetish.
Take off to go back to the hotel.
Right.
Charlotte
whisked away.
Charlotte
and Samantha's like, they sure flew off.
You gotta have a bad bird pun in there.
There's so many bad bird puns throughout this entire. She really spread her wings.
Carrie is like finishing up her shopping spree.
Well, Carrie's like long been finished, but then like, so we just cut to like, Miranda goes back to the hotel. Like from her leaving, we cut immediately to like this shot of like, just like huge heels, like pumping on the sidewalk. And we're just seeing like one foot after the other. And it's like toe rings, like sparkly nail polish. Like we're going up, we're seeing the whole look. It's like a full on, like it's a newspaper dress, like her famous newspaper dress. Mm-hmm. But instead this time it's all like, it's like a typewriter wrote it like sparingly. Like okay. It's like just like random like acrostic poems. Like
it's like magnet, refrigerator magnet.
It's like
poetry.
Refrigerator magnet, basically. It's like very clear that a typewriter like had a hand in this design.
Mm-hmm.
And then we scan like up from that to like Carrie, and she's wearing like a huge headpiece and it's all just like shredded paper.
Love.
And she's just like stomping up like fully blonde, fully Carrie, fully leather skin right into the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And like the security is just like, let her through.
They're like, ma'am, no. And she's like, stop. And then like just walks through.
Yeah. Cause she's like, at this point, she's like equal parts like old Carrie and like new Enigma. And it is like electrifying.
And everyone is like turning to see, look her. It's like there's like a hush.
It's like a tornado.
A hush goes over the entire restaurant and everyone turns and there she is. It's
and
Carrie
her and
Bradshaw.
Samantha lock eyes. Like and Samantha's head whips around.
Even like a few like 30-year-old women are like, it's Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Like they get like excited.
And then there's like an 80-year-old man who's like, it's Carrie Bradshaw. And then there are like all these gay men who are like, it's Carrie Bradshaw. And it's yeah. like going through like, it's like Paul Revere. Mm-hmm. Like it's like just like everyone's like spreading this message like wildfire. And we realize that like Carrie has become such that like every single type of person like has found a way to like attach to her identity.
Totally.
And she's just like got this room in the palm of her hand.
But
and Samantha is
also
vexed.
Samantha's vexed because Carrie clearly came to the restaurant to steal her thunder.
Totally. Like, to lift the restaurant out from under her. And in this moment, we realize, like, Carrie's evil plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're like, oh, the reason that she's come back to, like, do all of this is not because she wants to, like, see her old friend, but because she can't stand her having the spotlight for a second.
Yeah.
So she's going to take the entire operation as much as she can right out from under her.
And Carrie's like, hi, Samantha. I thought you'd never see me again, but I'm here to write a review, a very special review.
And she like pulls out her typewriter, but this time
it's
it has
real.
Paper in it.
Yeah. And we realize that Carrie is going to write a terrible review.
Scathing.
Of Samantha Jones on Third.
And then Samantha like looks down at the typewriter and looks back up at Carrie and she's like, all right. Let's do this. And she's like up to the challenge. Like she's like ready for Carrie to eviscerate her because she's like, try me, bitch.
So this whole moment has been leading up to this whole movie is like Carrie leading up to this like face off with her and Samantha right. where they like,
and she even fooled her agent. She got like the whole bill fitted for this entire trip. The private
jet. She's
like,
jet, it's me again. Like, I'm going to be
like,
Carrie again.
Yeah. She's
aren't
like,
you
I'm
going to
write about being myself again. And it's going to be this huge exploration. But really, it was all a lie. Like,
to
she's
just get to Samantha's restaurant and like take her the fuck
yeah.
down.
And Charlotte at this point is getting fucked by like a woman with a strap on in the bathroom. Like,
yeah.
Charlotte like cannot be bothered. Like, she's just like,
there's
a
lot of a physical comedy.
Like, yeah. People yeah. are just like revolving door with Charlotte's pussy right now. Just
yeah.
like right on through.
Charlotte, like, once she like sheds her like shyness about catfishing all these lesbians and getting them
she
to meet her at the restaurant.
She confesses to one of them. And
yeah.
then they're like,
and then
you're
it spreads like wildfire.
You know, the gays.
The gays, they're just like, all the news spreads and there's a new pussy in town. Ugh. So they all are just like running a train on Charlotte in the
and
bathroom.
And also they're like angry for what she did, that she mm-hmm. lied to them, but also she's like hot in real life and they're like excited by it. And so they're just like having.
And she's down too. Yeah.
They're so just having her on a table in the back.
Yeah. Like at one point,
she's like in the kitchen, actually, just like spread eagle, mm-hmm. like just full on.
They're having like their own like 9.5 weeks, mm-hmm. like
yeah,
sexy food yeah. moment. So
icing all over her nipples.
Yeah.
Just like really gross flour on her pussy. And it's just like living.
It. Yeah. And she's in like ecstasy.
Yeah. She like loves every moment of it. She's like, I'm disgusting now. And she's just like living like all of her like weird fantasies, but they're all through like baked goods and yeah. like, flour and like ingredients and stuff.
Yeah. There's like a really gross like chocolate scene that yeah. kind of can harken back to when right. she shit her pants, but it's like chocolate yeah. with like a croissant yeah. or something.
But it's
something.
Just like they're like eating her ass with like chocolate on it.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay.
Yeah. So Samantha and Carrie are about to have like an epic showdown.
Yeah.
Which basically just means like Carrie is going to eat the food at the restaurant.
Samantha, no, what's going to happen? Because like Carrie hasn't eaten anything but a salad in like 40 years,
mm-hmm.
like 40 actual years. And basically the salad that like Samantha had been preparing for Charlotte, she like throws it dramatically and there's like salad everywhere. And she's like, we serve bread here. To review this restaurant, you'll have to eat bread. And everyone's like, oh! And like yeah. the air leaves the room. And Carrie, you can tell, is panicking inside. And she's like, sit me down.
Everyone at the restaurant has like gathered just in a circle right. around Samantha and Carrie. Yeah. And they're like, because this is the climax yeah. of the movie. It's like,
because it's ending. Because we need it to end.
I'm like, yeah, because it's almost over. We're moving towards a rapid end for this movie.
Know how this is going to be.
So everyone is gathered around Samantha, and she's like, first course, please. And it's like a gazpacho with like a huge crouton
it's
in
like
it.
Like the biggest.
Like the gazpacho crouton. Is mostly crouton.
It's a Parmesan crouton.
In like a small river yeah. of gazpacho.
Right. It's like a little bit of, it's like a drizzle of gazpacho. Yeah.
And she's like, go for it. And then Carrie tries to like light a cigarette at one point, and Samantha's like, there's no smoking here. Samantha lights a cigarette, but really it's like an herb cigarette.
Oh,
and so,
wow.
And then yeah. Carrie's like, there's no smoking in LA, I thought. And Samantha's like, who says I'm smoking?
She's like, it's CBD.
And then sprinkles all the like smoked yeah. herbs on the gazpacho, and everyone's right. like, and like starts applauding mm-hmm. like lightly.
And Samantha's like, that's what we call an infusion.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like,
Samantha's Jones on Third is actually like Wolfgang Puck's in Beverly Hills. Like, it's like so high end, like crazy.
It's
fusion
like people are
food.
Eating like foam and moss.
Yeah.
And like huge also, sculptures like, of like bread sculptures.
Yeah. Bread sculptures. Yeah. And like, it's very avant-garde.
It's like new ways to do bread.
It's like actually instead of.
It's yeast and experimental. It's like new American yeast.
Yeah. And it's like bread. It's total bread sculptures mm-hmm. and like a bread based menu, but yeah. like.
Which is some, radical for
which
LA.
Is radical and like totally unheard of, but in yeah. LA it's like it's gone bonkers. Like yeah. it's that's why.
And it's all small plates. Oh, is the
thing. The
tiniest like, plates. All small plates. And it's like you go there and you get these small plates of like beautiful bread items.
Yeah. Involved. So like the gazpacho yeah. is literally like an espresso cup with a huge crouton in it. And then like
a drizzle.
Few drips of gazpacho.
And then this ash of herbs.
And then the herb ash that Samantha infusion. Personally smokes yeah. a cigarette of herbs, lights it, sprinkles.
And everyone's like, is that cloves? And Carrie is vexed by the idea that the clove scent is not her. She's mm-hmm. just like completely, every attack has been made on her person in this moment. Like her scent, her energy, the smoking, everything, like it's been taken from her. And yeah. all she has to do is eat this giant crouton.
So Carrie begrudgingly takes a bite of
puts
the crouton.
Her fork in the crouton, and she like puts her mouth near it and like nibbles it. And everyone's watching her just disgusted.
And you see Carrie's eyes fill with tears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because she's eating bread. It's because the crouton is so fucking good.
It's amazing.
It melts in your mouth like the second you
so
eat
she
it.
Starts being like, it's basically like the orgasm in When Harry Met Sally, but it's mm-hmm. real. Like in the middle of the restaurant, she starts being like, ugh.
Carrie's like, ugh. And then like kind of tries to hold herself back.
Yeah.
And then she's like,
and then Samantha and like grabs her
what
hand.
Was that? What did you just say? And Carrie's like, nothing. next course, please. And so with every course that Samantha gives to Carrie, it's more and more orgasmic.
It's driving her further and further to her climax, and she's just like resisting it.
And it's making it worse. More hot. Yeah.
She's like holding her hand back. She's like gripping the table. She's like, no.
She's like biting her lips. And Samantha's like, you like that?
And we see Samantha like coming into her own again. It's like her hair is sort of like blowing back. Like we can see like the Samantha cheekbones like highlighted by sweat. And we're realizing like, oh, like she's horny for this. She's like domming Carrie right now. And Carrie's like a little scared sub.
Like this is what it was all leading up to. Like, and we realized that Samantha had gone away to LA, bought Jones on Third, reinvigorated the entire, rebranded the entire restaurant to be this avant-garde bread, like yeast statement restaurant.
Sex goddess.
For the specific purpose of luring Carrie to it and giving her the orgasm of a lifetime via bread.
Finally, Carrie will experience pleasure. And Samantha's eyes are just like lighting up. And she's like, this is how she's really going to get Carrie to enjoy sex.
Yeah.
Like for once.
And people are now filming.
Yeah.
And it's obviously like live streaming on TMZ. Yeah.
And everyone's going nuts. Like everyone in America is like, Enigma, Carrie Bradshaw with Maverick Baker, sex goddess, Samantha Jones. Showdown.
Like there's one moment like of a side where Carrie's like, where even is Charlotte? And then you just see Charlotte like getting eaten out in the kitchen and like coming.
Yeah, but like she's like eating someone's pussy like that's on a countertop while laying on a different countertop, like being fucked by someone with a strap on. And like her tits are both being fondled by like random hot women. And she's like, I'm a catfish. I'm a catfish. And then someone's like, who's got the catfish? And it's like a very nice like food pun moment.
Yeah.
And then
it's like, we don't serve catfish here. Where's Miranda? I forgot where she was.
I have no idea. Oh, Miranda's fucking like some like Steve lookalike hot person like with birds in a hotel. Like she's just
She's like
fucked off. Like so she's being fucked right now by someone who's like Steve, and she's like, say your name is Steve. Say your name is Steve. Oh. And she's just in a room of birds. And through this, she's like realizing like the guy, like he's into birds, he's psychosexual, like whatever. But she's realizing like her actual love for Steve. Because this person has like reignited it. And she's like, You're Steve.
Seeing everything that she saw in Steve all those years ago.
And the birds are like flying around her like she's like a Disney princess. It's like very beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's like the artsy and kind of like a tearjerk moment. Because then you get a montage of like her and Steve in the good old days. And like you're like, oh my god, that's the love.
Yeah. Like, and in every scene in the montage, we realize that there's always been a bird.
Yeah.
And that's like always. And she realizes in that moment, she's like, the birds are about Steve.
As Carrie is getting fed more and more bread, and she's like becoming more and more orgasmic. Charlotte's also getting like more and more orgasmic. Yeah. And
Miranda's getting more and more orgasmic. And then Samantha's like
glowing.
The ultimate, realizing that she's driven all of her friends to orgasm. Her plan has like come together, literally.
Yeah. And so as everyone like builds into this like massive group orgasm.
Birds, bread.
Charlotte having crazy group sex in a kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And like.
And nothing else.
Yeah. Everyone climaxes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got in this moment where it's just like it's like it fades out to like just a bright white light.
It's just it's a bright white light completely. And then suddenly we are back in New York, and all four girls are back, all four women are back at a diner, and it's Samantha's diner. And it's months later, and they're all looking completely radiant. They're just, like, totally different.
They're, like, 30 years old again.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's the like, girls in season two, when they were peak, that they're hottest in season two.
Like, how is this possible? Like, literally how?
They've all never looked better. Samantha's transformed from Ina Garten Samantha to just, like, Samantha Jones as we knew her.
She's, like, Samantha Jones as we knew her, but with, like, this added, like, Ina Garten energy. Like she's like running maternal. This place. We like see her like walking around and looking over everyone like a mama hen, just like and she sees like her friends just looking like radiant and satisfied, and she looks around and she's all like hot servers, and she's back in New York, and she's like, everything in its place. And, like, everyone's
she's
just like
dinner is served. And they're like, it's brunch. And she's like, I know.
Right, right. And yeah, like, where are the men? We don't know. Like, they're all sitting around, like, just like discussing their
the men are
at,
like, a separate
lives.
Table.
The men are like, homeless on the street.
Yeah, they're at, like, a separate
big
table.
Big is begging for money at Penn Station.
They're just like, you see, like, these women, it's like they all came, and then mm-hmm. like I think you get like a montage of yeah. like.
We go Charlotte. White light and then the restaurant that Samantha owns, and then we get a montage of like what's brought them there.
Yeah, and like you see them cheersing and Samantha's mm-hmm. like, dinner is served, and then you get filled in yeah. on all the backstory.
Because they're like, it's breakfast, and she's like, I know.
That's
and
what
then,
you think.
Then we see like all these dinners. We see this like rolling thing of them just like living their lives, just like hooking up with whoever they want, like male, female, otherwise. Yeah. Just like
Charlotte's become like a Cleopatra, just mm-hmm. like sexual. Like everyone, I think what happened is like mm-hmm. everyone shifted their energies and yeah. everyone else. So Charlotte's become like yeah. the Samantha.
Yeah.
Samantha became the Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Miranda's become the Carrie.
Miranda's become the Carrie.
And Carrie's become another being entirely.
Yeah.
Like we're not sure. No one became the Miranda because it like doesn't fit the narrative.
No.
Carrie's like a supreme being at this point.
Yeah.
Like she is
transcended. Kind of a see-through.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously at this point we realized through the montage that Carrie did write her hit book, but it was about their sexual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, goodbye, New York. But it was like spelled like bye. And they were all like, oh.
And they were like, why?
And she's like, why not?
Why not?
And everyone's like, woke legend. Like, everyone's like, Carrie Bradshaw has like torn down every sexual boundary.
They're like, Carrie got to a place where she didn't have to make sense of anything anymore. Yeah. She could just say
she's basically
things.
A beat poet, but yeah. of the entire like the poet
Jack Kerouac.
Yes.
Good night.
Thank you so much.
I feel like we have to come up with a new title for this movie that's not bisexual, bi, goodbye.
Sex in the City, Sex in the City 3, come to LA.
Sex in the City
come
3.
Come to Jesus, but it's spelled come. Sex in the City 3, yeast infection. I mean, yeast invasion.
Sex in the City 3. The cum also.
Can you like release this at all?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Like, I think I can. I like where it ended up.
I think maybe, yeah, we got them
we
to a really
got
good
it.
Place.
We turned it back around. There was no a moment ending. Where I was like, wow, this is a whole episode that, or this is like a movie that just is about people going to a restaurant. But it's about more than that.
But it, yeah, I think like we really, like when we broke into like, oh, they're all getting fucked, that was when like it really hit a stride.
Yeah.
Like, Sex and also Carrie, that was like, yeah.
Carrie is
that
like,
really took us there, was like figuring out that Carrie is like become performance art in
yeah.
herself, and then also like a villain, but then also a hero, you know?
Sex in the City 3, yeast meets West.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Sex in the City 3, yeast meets West. This is beautiful.
And now, yeah. It's
and
great.
Now there you go.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
And that's
so you make a movie.
Done, folks. And we are
welcome to Hollywood. This is Saving Sex in
Darren
the City.
Star. Theory.
Darren Star.
Give
call
us a
me.
Call.
Michael Patrick King. Hit me up. Thank
you. Chrissy Milazzo.
Chrissy Milazzo. Laura Marie Shane Halls.
Thank you.
Hey, Candace Bushnell.
We'll throw you a bone.
We're here.
Maybe.
Yeah. You can get a cut of this.
We don't know.
Jenny Bix.
What?
I know you're out there.
Who?
She's a writer on the show.
Okay, cool. Michael Patrick King.
Yeah, you too. The whole crew. Get in.
James Wilkie.
Get in on this action.
Matthew
James
Broderick.
Wilkie, weigh in. Matthew
SJP.
Broderick. I love, too, that this is very, like, there's no extra special, like, guest spots. It's really, yeah. like, just the
it's
women.
It's just the women and the side paramours. And so, like, great.
And, like, the men are kind of, like...
Just, like, the women and temptresses. Yeah, the men are just, like, whatever. Like, Steve, like, Miranda realizes she loves him, but then, like, do they ever get back together? Like...
No, we never need to, like, follow up, because it's, like, who cares, boring.
She just, like, realized it was always about birds.
And it's always about the girls.
Yeah.
And maybe at Samantha's restaurant, like, when she finally comes back to New York for a triumphant return, there's, like, her restaurant is an amalgam of everyone's like personal vibe. Totally. So there's like birds in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like a bird sanctuary like in the back, like mm-hmm. in like the back patio area. It's like a greenhouse bird sanctuary. And then like for Charlotte, we have this like beautiful like gallery hall. And it's like really, it's all like paintings of Charlotte that like famous lesbian artists have done now. And she's mm-hmm. really like broken into that community.
Yeah.
And so we have this like whole gallery hallway. And then for Carrie, we have like her artist's nook. And sometimes Carrie will just go over there with a typewriter and just like sit down in the velvet booth and just like lean back and like wonder.
Yeah. You know?
And like sometimes she'll write people poems for a dollar because she's like, capitalism.
Yeah. It's and she's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And there is like a and special she obviously little wrote place.
Her last book there. Yeah. On a typewriter.
And there's a special zone for her crystal typewriter, mm-hmm. the typewriter that started it
it's
all.
Like, yeah, it's like in like a glass case. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes like her, like the end of the movie is like, all four girls like sort of gravitating towards it and like her and Samantha like looking at it and being like
Samantha goes, you bitch.
And then Carrie looks at Samantha and she's like, you bitch. And they all just look at each other and they're like
and then it's like the end.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like that.
Yeah,
great,
love it.
It took us 5.5 hours.
Took a while, but we got there.
But like, we did it.
Yeah, we totally did it.
Thank you for steering the ship.
Thank you for being a part of the ship.
Thank
you for bringing so much. Like, this was I did not think that this was going to go a lot of the places that it went, mm-hmm. but that's like kind of the joy of the whole process.
And that's improv, everybody.
That's what improv's about. Google it.
Yep.
I'm untrained. You could never tell.
Never tell.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
Please don't.
Okay. Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Saving Sex in the City 3. Chrissy Milazzo, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome anytime.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You're asking for a lot.
Asking for trouble. Yeah. All right. See you next time. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.